Lance Lenoir scores a touchdown with 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and he's not that much less of a wide receiver than the guys who were catching passes in the first and second quarters.
I have scars from Green Bay, Devontae Adams scoring the touchdown to win the game early in the season. I have scars from the Tyreek Hill punt return, dump off over the middle at the end of the first half in that game. I just have major fears about how the Cowboys run situational defense, but a preseason game isn't the way that we're going to be able to judge whether they've made progress or not.
I saw him in the backfield several times. I saw him getting separation from blockers, getting off of the left tackle, and able to generate some disruption in the backfield.
Everybody was getting their hands up and not just putting them up indiscriminately. They were actually affecting the game and shutting down the San Francisco offense.
All right, all right, all right. We have actual, legitimate, factual football information to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest and greatest episode of Cowboys Crunch Time with KD. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. Obviously, manning the ship over at CowboysWire.com. Download the SportsWire app to make sure that you do not miss a single article from myself and obviously my team of talented and analytical writers. We're going to be discussing the Cowboys preseason opener. They lost to the San Francisco 49ers 24-21 on Thursday night. Thursday night was basically the preseason opener for a lot of teams. I believe there were 12 games yesterday, yesterday compared to when we're recording. But all in all, it was a great effort from the first and the second team players for the Cowboys, the backups of the backups. They kind of lost their way there at the end, and there's some things to talk about in regards to that. But I wanted to make sure that you guys got a chance to kind of dissect the game with me, and there's no better person to do that with than longtime friend of the show, Mr. Joey Ikes. Mr. Ikes, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing extremely well, my friend. How are you?
I am doing great. And of course, you can find Joey on Twitter at Joey Ikes. He is going to be writing for The Athletic Dallas this coming season, so make sure you are looking out for that. I would very much advise you to get a subscription to that service. It is top-notch quality. Ikes is joining some of the best in Cowboys Nation. Obviously, Bob Sturm is over there. Jeff Cavanaugh from 105.3 The Fan is over there. It's really going to be some of the best high-level stuff that you're going to find, in addition, obviously, to Cowboys Wire. And I am very pleased that you are able to join us here on this Friday morning to discuss what happened with the Cowboys yesterday.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's take it from the beginning. The Cowboys, again, they lost 24-21. They had an early 14-0 lead, and I think that's what a lot of people want to focus on because that's what you saw with their not just their first string, but the guys who would be replacing first string players if they were to get injured along the season. Obviously, everybody enters training camp with high hopes and visions of what a team can do if they are able to remain perfectly healthy throughout the year, but we all know that's not the case. So not only does your first string need to be up to par, but your second string as well, and sometimes even in catastrophic situations, your third string guys need to be capable. All in all, what was your impression of the depth that the Cowboys showed in the game yesterday?
I think there were positions that showed substantial depth. And it's funny, we've him and hawed about the wide receiver position so much. But the thing about the wide receiver position for this team is it's very flat, right? So Lance Lenoir scores a touchdown with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And he's not that much less of a wide receiver than the guys who were catching passes in the first and second quarters.
Right.
And so that fact, in the 49ers actually have a similar wide receiver depth chart where they don't have a guy. They've got Marquise Goodwin who just flies, but they don't have like a guy. They've got, I think, of course, I'm sure you, like I did, got the San Francisco side of the broadcast. So those guys were talking about how they feel like there's 8 wide receivers on that roster who are NFL quality receivers. And so the Cowboys are maybe not 8 deep at wide receiver, but they're pretty deep in terms of wide receivers that can play on an NFL field and look legitimate doing it. So some positions, wide receiver, running back, places like that, the Cowboys clearly have not only substantial depth, but significant and maybe even extra depth, which is extremely rare. But then there were other positions, and you could point to the safety spot. You can point even to the linebacker spot, where the first five are real deep, but then after that, you've got former quarterbacks playing, and you've got former. At one point, the Cowboys had a former quarterback playing linebacker and a former quarterback playing safety.
Yep.
And we wonder why the 49ers were able to move the ball in the third and fourth quarter. So, again, I think what really kind of showed up to me and what kind of changed the course of the game, and you saw some big plays start to pop up, was when the reserve safeties and the reserves of the reserve corners got in the game, is when you kind of started to see the ball move down the field. Like the 2-minute drill at the end of the game, and just big old holes in the middle of the field and things like that that they were able to exploit to get down and score the touchdown at the end of the game. But again, from the guys who are going to make the team and be relevant to the success of the team, I don't think there's much really to complain about. I mean, you could pick some nits on a couple of guys, and I'm sure we'll do that. But for the most part, I think you have to be thrilled with 2 weeks into camp. You come out in your first live real action against another team, and the first unit looked pretty darn good. They pitched a shutout for the first 29 minutes and 50 seconds of the game. So,
yeah, I think from my overall impression, touching on a couple of the points that you brought up, the secondary depth is questionable, and it started with guys like Duke Thomas. I don't think Anthony Brown had a good game. He is our nickel or our slot corner currently. That's something that Chris Richard, I transcribed one of his interviews that he did with Amber Garcia, where he spoke about it. It made me feel like he was saying they're challenging Jordan Lewis because he might have felt entitled, and that might just simply be my particular interpretation of his words. But it seemed to me like he was saying that Anthony Brown got the job because Jordan Lewis kind of assumed that he was going to get the role, and they had to make sure that he knew that he had to work for it and work every day. And again, that's just my particular interpretation. Those aren't directly from his words, but that's how I took it. But what I saw on the field, Duke Thomas seemed like a mess, and we thought that he was on his way to making the roster last year. Anthony Brown just kind of panicked late in the first half, that allowed San Francisco to get down in a scoring position right before the half to put them back in the game. But then in the second half, what I saw out of the backups was just kind of a lack of mastery of what the Cowboys wanted to do. And they were in a rough position because you're playing zone defense against a Kyle Shanahan offense. And when they get into that 2-minute, 4-minute drill, Kyle Shanahan knows how to scheme guys open. And it doesn't matter what level of player they are within the San Francisco offense. When you know what you're doing with a scheme that is that proficient at getting guys open, it really is going to put down the line roster guys in the secondary in a tough position. And it didn't shock me at all to see San Francisco, I mean, completely march down the field and be as open as they were. It just the elements of the situation just kind of predicted that was going to happen. But overall, I like what the Cowboys did as far as their pass defense. They deflected 10 passes. Now, that mostly came from the linebackers and the defensive linemen getting their hands up in the passing lane. But still, that's a far cry than what we saw last year. Last year, the only person that did that was David Irvin. He had 6 in his 8 games, and that was phenomenal. But he didn't play last night. He's obviously in rehab and going to be suspended for the first month of the season. But overall, everybody was getting their hands up and not just putting them up indiscriminately, they were actually affecting the game and shutting down the San Francisco offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether the DBs get their hands on the ball or the defensive linemen get their hands on the ball, you're disrupting a play. And when a defensive, or we saw what happened, Kayvon Frazier comes off the edge on a blitz, gets his hands up, gets his hand on the ball. Joe Thomas comes flying in, is able to intercept it and return it for a little ways. And that creates a turnover. So anytime your defense can get their hands on the ball and at the line of scrimmage, especially, because then it becomes a big tip drill and it increase the odds of somebody coming down with it.
Yep.
It's a good thing. And we've talked for so long about how this defense just doesn't get their hands on the football, whether it's DBs, linebackers, defensive linemen. It just doesn't hasn't happened enough. And all through training camp, we've seen it from the DBs and linebackers and coverage and stuff. And now we've seen it in a game from the linebackers, the defensive backs, and the defensive line. And I think that it's something that we've got to be excited about for sure.
Okay, let's run through the rookies, because that's normally one of the main things that people like to take away from the first preseason game, is because it's the very first time that they've gotten to see the players that the Cowboys scouted for months and felt would be the best additions to the team. Leighton Vander Esch, first-round pick. We didn't get to see much of him in training camp, or get to hear many reports about him in training camp, I should say. And I think that's partially because linebackers don't tackle all the hype that surrounds Jalen Smith and his miraculous recovery. What did you think of Vander Esch's performance, starting with the almost interception along the sideline and then moving to some of his other plays?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the play on the sideline kind of exhibits what Leighton Vander Esch is at his peak, right? He plays backwards very well in terms of playing in coverage. And there's some tape on Leighton Vander Esch that you watch in coverage that's some of the best linebacker coverage tape you'll see. He's big, he's extremely rangy, and he's got ball skills, and he highlighted all of that stuff. He did get his feet in bounds when he was diving off the sideline. Okay, it happens. But the individual trait of being in position, seeing the ball, making the play on the ball, those are things that will start to translate, especially as his mental process will speed up, hopefully, over the course of the next few weeks, and then over the course of the season, and over the course of his career as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, some people had issues with his reaction time, which for me, I thought was a wash based on the fact that it was his first NFL action, his first time being in an NFL stadium. He's never even been to attend a game in his life before.
Yeah.
So being in that kind of situation, and knowing that he has a learning curve, because everybody has a learning curve. Sean Lee didn't start a single game as a rookie. But knowing that he had that learning curve, I'm not that befuddled at him having some slow reaction to some of the plays along the goal line and other situations.
Yeah, exactly. And that it kind of fits with what his college evaluation was, in that if you watch early tape from the season at Boise State, he just plays way slower than he does on the tape at the end of the year, especially you get to the bowl game. I think the Oregon game was the bowl game. It was the last game of the year, and he's flying around all over the field making plays. It just seems like, and I don't know the guy, I've never spoken to him. I don't know his history that well in terms of academia or anything like that, but he seems like a guy who it's going to take him a little bit to grasp what he sees. But once he figures out what he sees, he definitely has the athletic ability and the body size and all that kind of stuff to go get it, in other words. So I think long-term you're okay with who Leighton Vander Esch is and what he's going to be for this team. Hopefully he's able to kind of speed up that learning curve by playing with and learning from Sean Lee and Jalen Smith and those guys. But if it doesn't happen, it's at least, I mean, you've got the guy under contract for 4 or 5 years, and you're ready to kind of rock and roll once Sean Lee departs from the building here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think one of the main things that came into play last night, one of the biggest takeaways, we named on Cowboys Wire, we named Joe Thomas our player of the game, because we were so excited to see him as a backup to Sean Lee. He obviously started at weak side linebacker. But to see him for the first time in a Cowboys uniform really looked to be somebody that can be part of a linebacker rotation for this team. So if he can continue to be that, and you have Lee and Smith and Thomas, you can bring Vander Esch along slowly, only put him in on passing downs where you know that he has that kind of read and react ability, and you're not worried about him coming forward and being hesitant until he gets that experience under his belt. One of the guys that started off slowly in the game and then seemed to turn it around almost immediately, as if the only issue was just, you know, early game jitters, was left guard Connor Williams, a Cowboys second round pick. He allowed a sack of Dak Prescott on the first drive. DeForest Buckner, very talented defensive lineman for San Francisco, made him look silly. But then after that, what did you think of Williams' performance from that point forward?
I mean, like you said, DeForest Buckner is a really, really good defensive lineman. If there weren't guys named Aaron Donald and things like that in this league, we'd talk a lot more about DeForest Buckner in terms of a really good interior defensive pass rusher. He gave Connor Williams a lesson on the first pass rush rep, that or the pass protection rep that he got in an NFL game. Luckily, it was a game that doesn't count, and yep. Luckily, Dak Prescott
didn't get killed, right?
and also, luckily, Dak Prescott was able to turn around and convert the third down that followed it, and keep that sack from ending the drive, which is what typically happens with a sack.
Yep.
After that, I thought he was awesome. I mean, it was one of those things. It seemed like he got over aggressive in his first pass set in an NFL game, and it almost seemed like after that he kind of settled in a little bit. It's like, okay, you know what? I belong here. I can do this. And looked good in the run game, looked good in the pass game, got push on the goal line, which was one of the questions. I mean, you move a smaller offensive tackle inside to guard. Is he going to be able to get push on the interior and short yardage? Check the box. Yes, he can. And so, I mean, it's extremely hard to be disappointed at all in what he did. He played a significant amount of the game. The snap counts aren't out yet, but he played a significant amount of the game and acquitted himself very well, from my perspective, in terms of watching the game and going back and watching a little bit back of it this morning a second time.
Yeah, I think he's going to be absolutely fine when it comes to the athletic element of the position. He's going to be their pull guard, and I think he's going to excel at that. I mean, having him and Teron Smith side by side, I don't know if you have a more athletic left side of an offensive line. The strength is a concern for me, but there's really nothing that's going to happen that's going to in order to improve that over the course of the year. Guys generally lose strength as the season progresses, so it's not going to be something that they're going to be able to increase. But I believe that once he has a full year in the weight program, in the offseason weight program, you're going to see a dynamically changed specimen when it comes to his second year. But I think he's going to be more than capable of holding that position down for the main part of 2018. You mentioned that Dak was able to scramble on the third down play to get the first down, and that's one of the biggest things we talk about is how sacks basically destroy drives. They are the destroyer of worlds, to quote Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If you get a sack, everything falls apart after a sack for the most part, and having a guy like Dak Prescott who, when the pressure, when the lane opens up and he can see that marker, he can go and pursue it, that's a big plus that I don't think a lot of people realize is a strong element of the game, even though Dallas doesn't call many scripted runs for Prescott. But then he turned around and threw a beautiful, beautiful pass to Michael Gallup down the right sideline, who I believe it was Jimmy Ward that he was able to separate from in the last minute. And going for the touchdown, his first career catch, went for a touchdown. Obviously, it's not a career catch, but professional catch, I'll call it. His first professional catch went for a touchdown, 30 yards, showed basically what he can do for this Cowboys offense as they look to find targets for everybody. What were your thoughts about him throughout that play and through the rest of the game?
I mean, wide receiver is one of those really tough positions to evaluate on a TV copy, right? Because, I mean, half the time you can't see them. You don't know what the route combinations are when you can see them. But on the touchdown play, he showed everything that you saw on tape at Colorado State. The ability to separate. He's not one of those guys that has like a standout physical trait. He's not the biggest wide receiver. He's not the fastest wide receiver. He's not the quickest wide receiver, but he understands how to get open. He understands how to use tempo and pacing and timing in his routes to create that separation, to lull the cornerback to sleep and then beat him deep a little bit like he did against Jimmy Ward there. And then he gets in position and he finishes the play. Everything you could possibly ask for. This guy's going to be a really, really good wide receiver for this team for a long time. And he and Dak Prescott are going to have a chance to kind of learn and grow together over the course of the next several years of their careers. And it's going to be a good thing for the Cowboys offense to have Michael Gallup on this team. And to go back to what you're talking about with Dak and scrambling and how big of a part it is of the game. It's one of the reasons why mobility for a young quarterback is so important, because there's going to be times, and this wasn't an example of that, because you're in the preseason and it's probably two man is probably what the coverage was, and the middle open, wide open, and he just took off and converted. But there's going to be times, especially on third down, that these defense coordinators are going to throw something at you that you've never seen before. And when you get back there and you're looking around, you're going, holy crap, I don't know what this is. The ability to pull the ball down and use your feet and go from third and six to first and 10 and move the chains one more time and keep the game moving is the difference a lot of times in winning and losing a game. And so it's a huge thing. It's a very valuable trait for Dak to have. And he showed it there. And he always seems to play a little. He always seems to throw better and feel like he's in better rhythm after he gets one of those runs that happens somewhat early in just about every game. I think we saw it against the Giants last year or the Redskins, one of the two. He's kind of struggling a little bit. And he breaks off like a 15 or 20 yard run on third down to convert a first down. And then all of a sudden the next like five out of the next six throws are just bang, 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 right down the field for a touchdown. And it helps him get in a rhythm. It helps him kind of get, I don't want to say get a sweat going because he does plenty of that before the game, but it kind of helps him. All right. He kind of helps him get a feel for the game and the tempo of it. And all right, now we're here, let's go. We're moving the ball. Let's roll. So we'll step back from Gallup and go to that. But Gallup was very good in terms of what we were able to see him do. He only had the one catch, but frankly, I don't care. he was there. He showed he belonged. He was out there with the first team against the first team, and he made a play that resulted in a touchdown, and it's going to be the first of many, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Some other things, just touching quickly on wide receivers. We saw Tavon Austin get a couple passes, first down conversions, one over the middle, one on the sideline. We saw Allen Hurns run a slant, and I commented on Twitter, we're going to be saying Allen Hurns on the slant probably 30 to 40 times over the course of the season. That just seems to be one of those beautiful combinations. If he can gain the separation that he showed on that play and position himself to haul that slant in, I think that's going to be a dynamic weapon for the Cowboys moving forward. Back to the rest of the rookies, Dorrance Armstrong, he seemed to be doing some really good things. He didn't get any stats for the night, so there were no sacks, no quarterback pressures, no pass deflections, no tackles, but he seemed to fit and seemed to show that he belonged on the field with NFL players.
Yeah, and the no quarterback pressures thing kind of goes back to what do you quantify as a quarterback pressure, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so when there's not a – when you're looking at the official game book or NFL Jesus or whatever source you're looking at, sometimes it's hard to quantify, okay, what exactly is a quarterback pressure or a quarterback hurry? Because what I saw him in the backfield several times. I saw him getting – separation from blockers, getting off of the left tackle and able to generate some disruption in the backfield, which is exactly what you're looking for from a defensive end, especially in their first preseason game. And he played against, he didn't play against Joe Staley or anything, but he played against guys who were going to play, who were going to make the team. He wasn't out there playing against guys who were going to be selling insurance in a couple of weeks on September 2nd.
He wasn't lining up against Chaz Green is what you mean to say.
Yeah. but he played well, and like you said, he looks like he belongs, and he may be, and our buddies Landon McCool and Marcus Mosher made this statement on their podcast last week, is that Dorrance Armstrong right now may be ahead of Taco Charlton right now. And it's not that he's always going to be a better player than Taco. He may be, but just his style of rush is going to translate one-to-one better and from the college game to the NFL game than the way that Taco Charlton is going to have to win. And so it's going to translate first. It's going to translate easier and quicker. And so he looks really great. He looks really great rushing against the Cowboys second team offensive line. He's gotten some rushes against the Cowboys first team offensive line and done well. And he continued that trajectory. As Sigmund Bloom would say, the drumbeat has continued throughout the course of camp and now into the first preseason game, where he's played very well and acquitted himself into this game very nicely. And he's going to have a role on this defense for sure.
You mentioned Taco Charlton, and I'm trying to put my finger on it because he came out like gangbusters. He had a couple very very nice pressures that flushed the quarterback out of the pocket. He had a tackle for a loss. But every time that I see him, he just seems to be able to sometimes he gets stymied, and it looks embarrassing when he tried the spin move and he ends up right where he started. That was one of the biggest concerns about last year. But he seems to be a guy that can get into the backfield, but doesn't necessarily have the speed to get to the quarterback and finish the play. And we know athletically that was one of the main things that we talked about when they drafted him. One of the issues why, you know, a lot of us would have rather had a guy like TJ Watt in that position was because he just didn't seem to athletically be able to be on the outside and seemed a better fit for interior pass rush. So that's something that we'll continue to monitor. But It always happens. Whenever we're chatting with Joey Ikes, the time just flies. Again, follow him on Twitter, at Joey Ikes. So let's wrap everything up, because we could probably sit here and talk for 2 hours to dissect everything that we saw and thought we saw from the game. But overall, was there anything that you left feeling truly disappointed about off of Thursday night's performance?
You know, one of the things, and I feel like I tweeted it during the, you know, you type so many tweets during the game, and I'm one of those cable cord cut guys, so I'm streaming the game, and so I'm always worried, like, am I a play or two behind what's really happening and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I tweeted during the game, kind of in the third and fourth quarter, they're like, if Charles Tapper is going to make the Cowboys team, like, he needs to be, like, really wrecking stuff in the third and fourth quarter of this game. Because, like I said a minute ago, a lot of those offensive linemen are going to be selling insurance on September 2nd, whenever the cutdowns, after the cutdowns happen. So if this guy is going to make the team and be a part of the rotation that plays on Sundays, like, he should be destroying these dudes, like, every snap. If he's going to go against Trent Williams and have any shot against Trent Williams or Jason Peters or any of those guys, he's got to be killing these guys on the offensive line here in the late part of this game. And it just didn't – I mean, he made the one play on against the run, slides inside, winds up forcing or recovering the fumble. Awesome. But I just feel like I want to see – I just feel like I should see a little more from him in that area. I think Mike White's a rookie quarterback. He looked like a rookie quarterback. Some good things, some bad things. I'm sure that progression will continue, hopefully, in terms of where he's going to go and what he's going to do. I mean, really and truly, if you kind of exclude the situational football stuff of the 2-minute drill at the end of the first half and the 2-minute drill at the end of the game, like, I don't really have any problems with the way this game went down. And the situational football thing, like, yes, they're working on it every day. We know they work on 2-minute offense, defense. We know they work on red zone, offense, defense, goal line, all that kind of stuff. We know they're getting that work, but there's only so many reps. I think they're running like eight snaps in those things. You'll get four drives, and the first team offense is going to get two or three of those. So those guys that are going to be working for State Farm next week, they don't get those reps in the situational football. So Trey Williams he knows in his mind he's not supposed to run outside and run out of bounds in the 4-minute drill. And you even see him stop his feet right before he gets out of bounds, hoping that he won't go out. His momentum carries him out. The clock stops. And really, as a result of that, the 49ers get the ball back with a chance to drive down the field, and the Cowboys wind up losing the game. So outside of that kind of situational football stuff from the down roster players, there's really not a whole lot to complain about for the Cowboys team that jumped out to a 14-0 lead against a team that everybody thinks is going to be pretty good this year. And the Cowboys did it without I think it was you that tweeted how good the Cowboys defense looked without Malik Collins and David Irving and Sean Lee. And I added Randy Gregory. there's four or five guys that are going to be a big part of that front seven rotation that just weren't there. And that defense looked that good. That's pretty awesome. And it's a great sign for the Cowboys defense going forward. And the way Dak was able to push the upgrade button from practice to the game and become the Dak Prescott that we've seen him be in games so often is a good sign as well.
Yeah, I think I would probably key in on the same thing you did, talking about the situational football, because I have scars. I have scars from Green Bay, Devontae Adams scoring the touchdown to win the game early in the season. I have scars from the Tyreek Hill, punt return, dump off over the middle at the end of the first half in that game that the Cowboys ended up winning, going away. And they basically dominated that game except for that situation. I just have major fears about how the Cowboys run situational defense, but a preseason game isn't the way that we're going to be able to judge whether they've made progress or not. So that's exactly the kind of the grain of salt that I say. You know, we have no idea, because based on so many factors when it comes to a preseason game, that there you really can't tell. You don't know what the scheme is. You don't know the experience level of the guys that are trying to run the scheme and how well they react, exactly how you laid it out. They don't get the practice reps necessary to be really good at that sort of thing. So it kind of is expected, except for Anthony Brown. So that's my major takeaway, is that Anthony Brown, they are putting him in a position to be a starter, because the slot corner is a starter on an NFL defense nowadays. They're putting him in a position to be a starter, and he did not look good. A lot of people have said that he's been having a really good camp. I've, you know, in the, in in the little time that I've seen him, I just don't see the type of guy that is, for one, better than what I remember Jordan Lewis to be, or that can be effective in the role that the Cowboys are going to need him. So I need to see that improvement. That is my major takeaway of something that I need to see improve over these next couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And the positive side of this is that it happened to the down roster players for the most part, but the coaching staff is going to get to pull it up this week.
Yep.
And say, all right, look, this is the situation. I guarantee you they're going to run into a 2-minute situation coming up here in the next week in Oxnard where it's, all right, it's 14-0 with a minute and a half left in the first half. And we're trying to keep them from scoring.
Right.
And the offense is trying to go down and score and the defense is trying to keep them from scoring. Or, all right, there's 2 minutes left in the game and we're up 21-17 or whatever the score was at the time. The offense is trying to go down and score. The defense is trying to stop them from scoring. And so there's a lot of that kind of stuff that can be a positive coming out of it, that they can be the first team guys, the guys that are going to be in these relevant situations later on in the year can come back, can get the coaching as a result of these reps that the lower down roster guys got. And it doesn't cost the Cowboys a game. The Cowboys didn't have to lose a regular season game this way for the first team offense and the first team defense to get the coaching that will come as a result of what happened last night in the fourth quarter.
There you go. All right, folks, that'll do it for this episode of Cowboys Crunch Time with KD. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at KDDrummondNFL. I am very thankful for my man, Joey Ikes of The Athletic Dallas, for joining us here. Find him on Twitter at Joey Ikes. Mr. Ikes, it is always a pleasure. We've been doing this for over half a decade now and looking very much forward to covering the NFL with you this year.
Yes, sir. You're making me feel old, but it's a pleasure.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for this episode of Cowboys Crunch Time with KD. Make sure you are subscribing on iTunes, on Spotify, on whatever your favorite podcatcher is on Android. You know what it is, folks. Salute.